Hey friends, welcome to the Drivecast, daily podcast designed to help us read it in, pray it up, and live it out. My name is Dan. I serve as a teaching pastor for our Worthington campus. Right now, we are in the thick of our series through the Old Testament book Song of Songs. And if you've been tracking with us, you know that we've been navigating some incredibly profound territory. Recently, we dealt with the heavy, exhausting reality of shame, which we're going to revisit again in a couple weeks. Now, so many of us were handed scripts about our bodies and our desires that forced us into hiding. Down the road, we're going to dive into that very practical daily reality of what it looks like to cultivate healthy sexual intimacy within marriage. But today, we need to pause and stand right in the middle of these two realities. Because before we can talk about the mechanics of a healthy intimacy, we have to talk about the crushing weight of our cultural expectations. Right? We live in a moment where romance and sexual fulfillment have been elevated to the status of a savior. And the underlying narrative of almost every movie, song, commercial is that your profound sense of isolation will finally be cured the moment you find the one. We're told that human intimacy is the ultimate destination of a successful life, but if we try to build our lives on that narrative, we will inevitably crush the people we love under the weight of our expectations, or we'll crush ourselves in despair if we find ourselves single or navigating a broken relationship or just in a post-relationship season of life. We need a different framework. So first, let's read it in. And I want you to listen to the vivid imagery from the man in Song of Songs describing his bride. This is from chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. He says it this way. A garden locked is my sister, my bride, a spring locked, a fountain sealed. Your shoots are an orchard of pomegranates with all the choicest fruits, henna with nard and saffron, calamus with cinnamon, with all the trees of frankincense, myrrh, and aloes, with all the choice spices, a garden fountain, a well of living water, and flowing streams from Lebanon. Awake, O north wind, and come, O south wind, blow upon my garden, let its spices flow. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat its choicest fruits. Now, this poetry is undeniably vibrant and intimate. But I want you to notice the primary metaphor being used here. A garden. 10 times in this short book, the couple refers to their intimacy as a garden. And as readers of the Bible, that should immediately pull our minds all the way back to the very first pages of Scripture, to the Garden of Eden. And that original garden that also tells the story of a man and woman who act as a model for God's greater design, right? The defining characteristic wasn't just the physical environment they were in. It was a state of being fully known and fully accepted. The Hebrew word for this kind of relationship, this deep relational knowing, is the word yada. And it's not just this intellectual data. It's the vulnerability of being completely bare, physically, emotionally, spiritually, and experiencing zero shame or rejection. This is what the couple in Song of Songs is looking for. This is what they're experiencing. They are catching glimpses of Eden. But here is the crucial thread we have to pull on today. In Song of Songs, it's only a glimpse. You see, if an architect builds a stunning, intricate scale model of a new city center and sets it on a table, that architect's model is real. It's beautiful. You can get your arms around it. But the model does not exist for itself. If you try to shrink yourself down and actually live inside the cardboard model, you will destroy it. It was built to point you toward the real thing. Human intimacy, marriage, romance, sex is an architect's scale model. It's a breathtaking, evocative pointer designed by God to show us what it feels like to be relentlessly loved and feel known, but it's not the final building. When we ask another human being to perfectly heal our loneliness, we are asking them to do something only the architect can do. And this is profoundly good news. It means that if you are married, your spouse is off the hook. They don't have to be your God. They can just be your partner. If you're single, divorced, or widowed, the ache you feel for connection is not a cosmic mistake or sign that you're missing out on the ultimate human experience. That ache is a holy hunger. It's an echo of your soul anticipating the day when heaven and earth are fully stitched back together, when we are expecting the permanent, unhindered yada being known by God. Now, let's pray it up. See, I think it requires a tremendous amount of courage to look honestly at where we're seeking our ultimate validation. It is a slow, unhurried obedience to retrain our hearts to look to God rather than our relationship status for our identity. If you are safely able to, take a moment, take a breath, let your grip loose on the steering wheel, and let's go before our Father together. Father, we confess that we have taken the beautiful scale models of romance, intimacy, and human connection, and so often we have turned them into idols. We've asked them to bear a weight they were never designed to carry for the marriages that are buckling under the pressure of unrealistic expectations. We ask for the grace of release. Help us to forgive our spouses for not being you if we have harbored bitterness. For anyone who's walking through the deep, quiet ache of singleness or the grief of a shattered relationship, would you meet them in their profound sense of loneliness? Remind them that their hunger is holy, that they are deeply, fully, and perfectly known by you. Reorient our longings today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, let's talk about what it looks like to live it out. We're going to practice naming the reality of the model. If you're married, your task today is to identify one specific expectation you have subtly placed on your spouse to fix your internal world, to make you feel secure, to validate your worth, or to cure your boredom. I want you to name that thing, and then quietly, internally, in your heart of hearts, release them from that burden. Let them step off the pedestal so that they can just be a fellow human being navigating the soil of life alongside you. If you're single, your task today is to pay attention to the moments of that ache of loneliness when it flares up. Instead of immediately rushing to numb that ache, whether it's by endlessly scrolling on social media, burying yourself in work, retreating into fantasy or whatever else, I want you to sit with it for just a minute. To acknowledge that ache, that there is a longing you have, and then direct it upward, right? Like, let that longing serve as a physical reminder that you were built for a world and a love that is larger than this one. Let that longing point you toward a wounded healer, Jesus, the only one who knows every hidden faction of your story and loves you with an absolute delight. Friends, thanks for tuning in to the Drivecast, and we'll see you back here tomorrow.